Welcome back to the Decades of Strength podcast. I am just back from vacation, and on today's episode, Sam, Nicole, and I talk about training and eating on vacation. We discuss our strategies and approaches, our mindset, as we head into our vacation, as we're there, and as we come back, so that we can enjoy ourselves, stay on track, and take the stress out of, wow, I'm dieting and now I'm going on vacation, I'm going to lose all my progress. So if you have a trip coming up, you're going to want to listen. If you have a trip later, you still want to listen, and then you want to save it for when you go. Hope you enjoy it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Decades of Strength podcast. I am Nicole, and I'm here with Sam and Kim, and we are super excited today because we are talking about vacation, which I know everybody loves. And we're just going to talk about our tips as far as nutrition and workouts and everything that we do on vacation to stay on track, kind of stay on track, or I don't know, maybe we want to say screw it and go all in. So hi, ladies.
All are possibilities.
Yeah. It depends on our goals.
It's true. It depends on the goals, the trip.
Who we're with. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is a good one because Kim is about to go on vacation and she's going on an amazing vacation. She's going to go on a cruise. I'm just going to New Hampshire to ski with my kids. So that's not as exciting, but we both have vacations coming up. And I feel like Sam has just gone on 18 vacations.
I'm just trying to be a nomad. That's all.
You're always traveling somewhere. You'll be representing the 20s, and you can just do whatever the frig you want. That's awesome.
I'll take it.
Hey, you guys want to hear the craziest thing about my vacation?
Yes.
I'm working on backup plans right now because the weirdest thing happened. We found out yesterday that our cruise ship, first, it's on a cruise right now. The ship we're supposed to board on Saturday. Yeah. The engines failed, and then it had to do an emergency docking.
What?
In San Juan, and as it did it, it crashed into the pier.
Oh my,
so my cruise ship crashed.
Oh my gosh.
That like never happened.
What?
So we've been keeping in touch with other passengers on board. Like my friend figured out how to talk to them and getting status updates because the company won't tell us anything.
And
so they've been talking to passengers, and last night, I haven't talked to my friend last night, they did finally set sail again at 7 after a whole day at this emergency dock. So I'm hoping that this is like a fixed situation and not like a Band-Aid situation to get those people back to Florida.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I wouldn't even get on that ship if I were you. Like, no go.
Nicole.
Oh, no. I'm so getting on. I'm just going to pay attention. When we do our emergency drills, I'm going to actually pay attention this time.
And just always wear a life jacket at all times. Like, whether you're at dinner or like a show, like you're just always wearing a life jacket.
You can watch my vacation pics and I'll always have a life jacket on.
Oh, we know where to find you.
If you get stranded, Kim, you know I'm going to DM you and be like, girl, I told you.
I told you. But hey, if I'm stranded on a cruise ship, that's not so bad.
Yeah, until the bathroom stopped working.
Yeah. We need you on our podcast. Don't be selfish.
I'll podcast from port. I'll live in Jamaica now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's so funny.
So anyway, what are you doing? That's the update on my vacation. Like as far as workouts and stuff like that go for vacation. Like what's your plan, do you think?
So for workouts, I have decided I've done different things. Cruise ships typically have a nice gym. They don't have barbells.
Okay.
That would be kind of unsafe because things are pretty unsteady. But they do have a full set of dumbbells and machines and space to train. And so in the past, I have done almost my full workout on board. You know, I just skip my big barbell move and do the rest of it. This time I've decided not to do that. I'm pretty excited about this month's plan and I want to do it exactly as it's written. So I'm just taking a week and I'm going to kind of do my own thing. I've decided to do 3 workouts. I'll do 3 total body workouts. And I'm going on this trip with 16 friends and family members. And so there's a bunch of ladies who want to join me. So I'll just be kind of doing a group
workout with everybody.
We'll do dumbbell stuff.
You should put that in your story.
Like group instructor.
I might.
Maybe you can get paid to do that. Shit.
I'll have the rest of the ship join in on my workouts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't stress about workouts when I'm traveling. I kind of make it work. And sometimes making it work means I'm going to do exactly what I would do if I was at home. And sometimes making it work means I'm just going to keep my steps up. And sometimes I'm going to do like a quick full body thing. It really depends. The cruise is awesome because you have hours and hours at sea and a nice gym. And so I like to work out. For me, that's pleasurable. For somebody who it wasn't, I'd be like, you know, maybe don't do it. You're on vacation. Do something quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think vacation's like a great, especially if you're lifting heavy, like vacation can be a great way to deload too. You know?
Just yeah.
Like,
yeah, like a natural deload.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or just like complete rest week, because if you're really into a groove of working out, sometimes it's so hard to give yourself a rest, especially if you like depend on those workouts to keep your sanity, like I do.
100%. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. Totally get that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sam, what do you do? I mean, I kind of know from your Instagram stories, but.
So I guess it's kind of evolved. I used to be very, I don't want to say neurotic, but I used to actually have serious anxiety when I traveled because I thought my progress was going to all go away and I was going to come back with no muscles and I was going to be really weak. Aww. And I would, instead of just trying to do a little something, I would just do nothing because I was like, well, if I don't have a full gym that I have access to, like, I can't accomplish anything. And I just kind of told myself that story, and it was, I mean, it wasn't really a good way to approach it, but I kind of felt like it was like the 0 to 100 mentality. And so over time, though, I have become a lot more flexible and just like adapted to wherever I'm at. So some of my go-to things are honestly, if I don't have access to a gym, I'll just like go for a run or do like sprints or like intervals or something. And if I'm like in a city, it's kind of nice because you get to explore too and just kind of get lost a little bit, but still maybe not get too lost. and then I'll just do like body weight circuits. If I'm on the beach, I'll use the beach for that. Or like if I can find like a bench, I'll use a bench for whatever, like doing step ups or like push ups or who knows. But now it's just kind of like, I sometimes don't work out and sometimes I do. I tend to try to walk a lot in the morning, especially like I like to do something in the morning just to move, even if it's like 15 push-ups in my house and like 15 squats and do something really simple, but just not to feel like super sluggish.
I love what you said about like how you used to be afraid that you were going to lose your progress, because I think it's so common. I have a bunch of clients heading on trips now, and that's their worry. Yeah. And that used to be my worry. Like I used to really stress, and I think we'll be talking about nutrition in a bit. I used to particularly stress about the nutrition piece of traveling, but even the workout piece, like it is. And sometimes you want to kind of like keep a tight rein and really control it. And in reality, like the overarching principle is you did not make all of your progress in a week or 2 weeks or however long your trip is. And you're certainly not going to lose it that way. And it takes like time and like going on trips and realizing, hey, like I'm fine. Yeah. And so it's awesome that you can, that, you know, that you were able to share that with us, Sam. Like, this is how I used to think. And now I realize like it's not true, because a lot of people aren't there yet. Like, they really still are stuck in the like, this is like, they almost don't want to go on their trip. It kind of ruins it. Like that edge of like,
oh my God,
fear and anxiety of what's going
to
happen.
So that was me. Like every time I traveled, and I never used to travel like that much, but I remember I went to India like 2 years ago, and it was right after I flew out of Logan, like a Boston, the day after my powerlifting meet. And I didn't even want to go on the trip because I was so scared that I was just going to get so weak and like ruin everything and just like go off the deep end. Like I couldn't even like trust myself. It wasn't good, because I should have been fully, you know, excited and like enjoying the trip, but I was nervous about it the whole time. And like, they don't have gyms like that in India, although I was looking, but like, it's just not a thing that they have there. And so I didn't even have the option. Like there was no situation where I could have put myself in so that I could have, you know, like gone and really lifted, at least where I was like in the middle of the desert. So and so I just had to like deal with it, but it is scary. So if you're out there and that's what you're dealing with, you're not alone in that. That's like pretty normal, I think, especially starting out or even in the first few years of training. It's like, it can feel scary to be away from your routine.
Yeah,
I agree.
Nicole, have you dealt with that?
Yeah, I mean, not. I feel like not to like such a certain degree that like I was scared to go away, but I've definitely felt that, oh, well, I'm going to lose my gains sort of mentality. And mm-hmm. I think that the more you learn about exercise and how the body works, it's different for us because like we know the science, but I mean, what you said, Kim, like it didn't take you a week to make all of that progress and you're not going to lose all of that progress in a week. And for me, I find that when I do take breaks, when I get back to the gym, I'm actually better than I had worked out 4 days in a row. My performance is so much better and I'm so much stronger because my body had time to actually rest and take care of myself. And so for me, like I'll always try and like I'll start the vacation with a workout or two and then it slowly goes downhill.
And yeah. But that's okay. Yeah, that's good though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about coming back with the strength thing. I think the first few workouts back are actually like freaking brutal and I think everything feels heavy, but right after that, after you get that first or second workout in back from vacation, you're like, I feel like the Hulk, like I'm so strong. It just takes I think your body a little bit of time to acclimate again to weights, and then you get right back into it and you're like, wow, I really you actually like are a real life example of why rest matters, you know, like when you've gone through it and you can see the physical like results of it, or you know, you can just feel like, wow, this weight doesn't feel as bad as it did before I left.
By the way I do that in every workout. I go and get the barbell and I'm like, god, this thing's heavy, and then an hour later I put the barbell back like it's a Q-tip. Like, oh, you know, everything in the beginning kind of feels heavy, but once you're in there, you're fine.
Yeah, that's so true.
All right. Awesome. So what about like, so Kim, you're going to be on a cruise, and I think a lot of people go on cruises, like millions of people a year. And mm-hmm. lots of people like to go to like these all-inclusive resorts, which have buffets. What? Yes. Like you're probably going to eat at some buffets. Like what do you do?
Probably will.
Like every
morning. As long as it's not a cereal buffet, Kim's good.
You know, they never have a great variety. I wish they had some lucky charms. If they do, I'll show myself having a bowl a day. but they don't. So, you know, the way I handle buffets with both myself and my clients at home is very different than I would necessarily on vacation, because I just take a different approach to food on vacation than at home. And I'm not a big fan of tracking calories on vacation. Mm-hmm. I've done it. I've gone on cruises and tracked my calories and it's fine. It's just not necessarily necessary because like we were just talking about, a whole week isn't going to do much of anything. And so typically the way I handle food on vacation now, which is very different than I used to, is I go in with the idea that I've got three kind of rules for myself. And the first one is the most important. And that is that I'm just going to eat until I'm satisfied. I am never going to eat past the point of fullness just because food is there. Mm-hmm. I refuse to do it. And so I really pay attention to my hunger and fullness cues, which is really great practice for people. Because a lot of times when people are just starting, they have no idea. They have no idea what it feels like to kind of be like approaching satisfaction. They get totally full. They know that sensation and they understand starving, but kind of that mid-range of like, like I think maybe I'm satisfied. I could eat more, but I'm satisfied. And so that's my overarching rule on vacations generally.
Yeah.
Even on a cruise ship buffet, you know, another special rule that I have for cruise ship buffets is don't pick up crap just because it's there. So much of it isn't that tasty that I save my calories for like what is actually delicious.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And I have no problem not eating something I've put on my plate. If I don't like it, if I get something, if I order something, and I know people are like, oh, that's wasteful, but it's just as wasteful to eat food that you're not hungry for. So I'm not about to eat something that I don't like, or I'm not hungry for anymore. So I'm very particular about what I want to put on my plate. And if I taste something and I don't like it, I just won't eat it. I will try and give it to, you know, my friend or my kid, but if somebody doesn't eat it, they don't eat it. And then I try and get protein and vegetables every day. And that's literally my vacation eating plan. Protein and vegetables every day, and just eat until satisfied.
I love that.
What about you, Sam?
Yeah.
Let's see. I think my strategy is usually like just having I wake up and I chug I don't know, like 16 to 20 ounces of water. And that's like definitely a big thing for me, because if not, like I'll tend to eat a way bigger meal at breakfast than I probably need to. So I will tend to drink a lot of water and a lot of coffee upon awakening. And depending on what the travel looks like, I mean, it could be for work or for fun. I would say that I try to just have bigger, more satiating meals. And I try not to snack, because that's when I get myself in trouble, is when I snack, because I just kind of lose count of my, I guess I lose, like, I have like a disconnect with my body when it comes to hunger when I snack, because it's, you're kind of like bringing those calories in at such, you know, a big range in time that it's hard for me to really like know if I'm hungry or not. So I'll try to just do like two or three big meals. And they'll be same as Kim. They'll be protein and veggie focused. And I almost always will have to modify what I eat. Like if I'm going out to eat anyways, because I'm lactose intolerant and a lot of like times eating out was challenging for me. And I also hate being that person that's like, oh, can you like make this dairy free, gluten free, butter free, you know? But at the same time, I
just free.
Yeah, exactly. Also free. But at the same time, I have to eat in a way that makes me feel good. So I think just creating my plate, like half the plate needs to be veggies, a quarter protein, and then also saving room for like some things I enjoy too. Like if I'm craving something, I'm just gonna eat it. And I think it's kind of taken me a long time to be actually be able to get to that point where I can fully say like, yeah, I'm just going to have what I want and just give myself permission to eat it and not eat like an asshole and eat like 8 servings of it, you know?
That's the best vacation rule right there.
Don't eat like an asshole. Right. Yeah. And so like, if I'm going to Miami and they're known for their ceviche, I'm going to get a lot of ceviche. Like I tend to eat in like, I don't know, like a regional or like a, whatever's local to that culture, and probably will eat more of that. And you know, if I don't get all my veggies, it's okay. If I don't get all my protein, my muscle's not going to go away. But I think what you do most of the time is a lot more important than what you do, you know, one random week or something out of the year. So I just try to take it easy on myself.
100%. I love that.
100%. What about you, Nicole?
Well, so for buffets, like I could. So my rule is to sort of walk through the buffet first and look at everything because I am that person who will like, ooh. I may have 20 things on my plate. So I always walk through first and I'm like, okay, what do I really want today?
That's a great idea. Like scoping it out.
Very good strategy.
And usually like if you're at an all-inclusive place, you're going to be there for a week. So it's like, okay, well maybe 20 things look good to me, but I still have like 7 more days to eat here. So today I'm going to pick these 5 things. And I try and keep it to like 5 things. So it's not like totally overwhelming, but yeah, I always do a walkthrough. And check it out and figure out what I really want and what I'm really in the mood for versus just, you know, getting that, you know, so excited. It's Christmas morning. Give me all the gifts and piling it all on my plate.
Yeah. I think what you really said about the, like, knowing you can eat more later or like, you know, there's going to be more days. I think that's a principle or whatever, a topic that we could literally talk about for like hours, because it's something that I think a lot of us, I know I myself have just recently like hit a turning point with that, like understanding, oh, if I'm still hungry, like I can eat more food later. Like it's not like all the food in the world is going to disappear. It's not like you're going to go starving. Like, you know, if you're listening to this, you're probably in a place where food is pretty readily accessible, right? Like, so not freaking the hell out when you're hungry, just like being, you know, learning to understand, like, you can always eat again. It's not the end of the world.
I love that.
Think for a lot of people, too, it goes back to how they were raised or, like, how their childhood was.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a family where there were, like, you know, 6 kids and, like, dinner was served and you're, like, running in just so you can get your piece of pizza, like, that's, like, a mentality that you take with you through adulthood. Like, I used to always have to have stocked fridge and cabinets, even though, like, food would always be wasted. I could never eat it. But for me to open a refrigerator or open a cabinet that was like half bare or really bare was so anxiety like provoking. And I never knew why. And it took me a while to figure out was, well, when I was a kid, we didn't always have food. And so that totally stayed with me through adulthood. And once I realized that and made that connection, which seems so silly and took me so long to realize, now I can have an emptier fridge. I can have emptier cabinets. And there's no issue mm-hmm. of me not being able to afford to buy more food. It was just that mentality of how I've grown up. And so I think whatever happened when you were a kid also filters through to adulthood, and people never make that. They can go through their whole life and never make that connection.
Wow. That's such an important connection to me.
I just had a mind blowing. Yeah. Keep going. I'm going to be over here, Mom, dissecting that.
It's so true, Nicole. It's really, really important. These are conversations I've had a lot with clients who have scarcity mindset, which is the term for what we're talking about here. And it comes a lot from childhood, exactly what you just said. If you grew up poor and didn't have food, or in a big family, like you said, I even had one client, and we were trying to figure out why she struggled with this so much. And what we realized is that her mom put her on a diet. I think it was like she was 10 was her first diet, and was always very mindful of how much she ate. She could never eat what she wanted to eat. And so her entire life had been the idea food was going to be hard to come by.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Cause it was very much controlled. And so it was hard. That idea of, feeling easy around food and knowing it's always there, when our history is that it hasn't always been there. If we were poor, even if we did it to ourselves with constant dieting, it's something we need to work through.
Yeah, and our kids see
and realize that food is abundant.
Kids see what you do. So if you're think about yourself, not you guys, but anybody listening, if you're always talking about the next diet or I can't eat that, I'm dieting, and even if you've never said anything to your kid about their diet or anything, they hear what you're doing to yourself, and they will 100% pick up on that and do it themselves. So it's not even what we tell our kids, but it's how we act in front of our kids.
Yeah, that's totally true. 100%. Wow.
And Sam, very true. I wake up and chug a ton of water too on vacation. But usually I'm super dehydrated because I drink a shit ton of wine the night before.
That's hilarious. No, I feel like when I wake up, I'm like a sponge.
I don't get hungover on vacation. I can have a bottle of wine on vacation every night and never get one hangover. If I have three glasses of wine here, I'm so hungover.
What?
Yes, I don't get hungover.
Well, wait, how does that work?
I don't know.
Maybe is it the elevation change?
I know. We always go to Aruba when I do that. And I think it's
their wine.
It's just Aruba. I think it's just magical.
Yeah, they just actually, though, Aruba is magical. When I went there, I didn't get burnt, and I'm white as hell, and I didn't get burnt. I got tan, and I was like, what is the sun? This is magical.
It is.
Wait, so I want to go back to what you guys are talking about the how you grow up, because this is a recent discovery I've had. And so growing up, and still now, actually, shout out to my parents, I love them to death, but they would always have a stockpile of food. Always the cabinets would be packed with food. And we had a refinished basement, and we had an entire second fridge freezer and an entire second pantry. So we had a lot of food in the house. And I'm just kind of now realizing actually in this exact moment that I have subconsciously always had a fear of not having food, because I ever experienced a lack of food, but for the opposite reason, because we always had so much food. There was always, they go, my parents would go to Costco or BJ's or Sam's Club or whatever, get buy in bulk, right? And just in case. And it was always this just in case. And so I think I grew up kind of conditioned to always buy more, always have more, which in turn always had me thinking oh my God, are my cabinets full? Is my fridge empty? Am I going to get home and not have anything to eat, And so always proactively, continually buying food, not even if I,
just in
yes.
case. Just
and
in
so
case. More like there was that just in case might happen, and like
exactly
maybe not even realizing like what the heck, what would just in case be? What might
right
happen?
And
where's the food gonna
and
go?
And to be honest, that's the just in case for my parents or for my dad actually, because he's. Shout out, I love you, Dad. But he's like, you never know, like if there's a third world war. I'm like, oh my god, like, but he's serious, you know.
Wow.
And
yeah.
So
that's
he's generation. Like, yeah, yeah, and like he's like, you know, like you just don't know, like, and if that ever does happen, you're gonna be happy I have all this food for us, you know. And so there's mm-hmm. like, you know, there's value to that, but there's also an extreme to that. And so I think mm-hmm. just me being aware of kind of where that mindset comes from. And that also could root, now I'm kind of like putting pieces together here live on the show. So, but that also could be a reason why I have binge eating in my past, because it's like, I've always had that mindset, like, yeah, but what if I can't get food again? You know, even though obviously like I live in America, it's going to be fine, you know,
yeah.
And I shouldn't even be thinking about that for 1 second, but, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts when you said that. I was like, oh wow, okay.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, and that's like why I parent my kids certain ways with food, where like nothing, like I emphasize, you know, optimal foods, but like nothing's off the table or restricted. Like if they come to me mm-hmm. and they're like, "Can I have one of those chocolate chip cookies?" I'm yeah, and other parents are like, "No." Maybe after dinner. And I'm like, whatever. Like, I don't make a big deal about food so that, like, they don't make a big deal about food. Like, and I'm hoping mm-hmm. that strategy works. I just, like, throw it out. I'm like, whatever. You know, so we'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know in 10 years. We'll have to recap this. And
Well, we should do a whole episode about, like, parenting and body image and food behavior and all that kind of stuff. I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah, because Kim, didn't you work with a woman who specialized in that?
I did. Yeah. I did. I worked with Dana Sukow to talk with her about how to raise our children in a way to have positive body image. And we talked about food and exercise and how to deal with all of that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
we should
really
have another
interesting
episode on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was super interesting. Really helpful. It really has changed the way I do a lot of things.
Cool.
That's probably something very valuable that a lot of parents, I think, could like, they could spend that money and it would be well worth it, you know, because it's like you're setting the foundation for your kids where food, like people's relationship with food is so much bigger than I think we all talk about. And it's like kind of mm-hmm. this like taboo mm-hmm. thing, right? Like, oh, yeah, like I'm fine when it comes to eating. But then you actually like, if you really dig deep in everyone's past, everyone has something, you know, when it comes to food, and it's just not talked about. And until it is talked about, and then they're like, oh yeah, me too, you know. So yeah, that's like such a great investment in your kid's future.
Absolutely, yeah. I did a month of coaching with her, online coaching, and we would talk, and we would talk about definite like good strategies to help your kids have healthy body image based, and a lot of it was based on what I say and do in reaction to what they say and do.
Really cool.
Yeah. It was interesting stuff. We'll have another episode on that.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're getting way deep on different things. This is not vacation talk.
I know. That's okay. Sometimes the tangents are the gold nuggets.
It's true. It's true.
All right. So I'm going to talk about, so I have a client who's going on vacation soon. And so I figured maybe I would talk about the strategy I'm using with her, because she's in a fat loss mode. So for anybody who's in fat loss mode, what I did for her is we sort of dialed in the macros down for 2 weeks. So you guys know that when you're tracking macros, sometimes when you know you've got to do it for 4 months, like the mindset of that is just like, oh man, no. So for her, what we're doing is we're dialing it down and really dialing her in for 2 weeks. But it's a good thing because we know we have that. It's kind of gives us like an end date in sight and something to look forward to. And so when she's on vacation, there's going to be no tracking macros, because I'm with you, Kim. Tracking on vacation, that's not vacation. Like that's not fun. Like the whole point of vacation is to kind of like decompress and give your mind a break. So no tracking on vacation. And then every morning, there's going to be a huge focus on a huge micronutrient-rich breakfast. So veggies, egg whites, fruit, coffee, protein besides eggs, just like a really good filling breakfast. And that keeps you full. So you're not, you know, a lot of people skip breakfast on vacation because they want to save it for lunch or whatever, or they don't want to spend the $40 on the buffet breakfast. If you're not all inclusive, which I think is silly. Like I always go for the big breakfast. And then lunch can be light. You can get a salad. You don't need something huge because you've had the big breakfast. And then dinner is like all in, whatever you want. You want fried shrimp and chocolate cake. You want a bottle of wine. Like, just go for it. But the base of you, you set the base for your day so that you can enjoy, like, the fun dinners out. If dinner is your thing. If lunch is your thing and you like to pass out drunk at 4 o'clock.
which we're in no way.
Nicole, I have a sense that Nicole might have done that with the bottle of wine in Aruba.
I don't do that, but I watch a lot of people in Aruba drink all day on the beach. They like don't even get out of their bathing suits till 6 o'clock, and then they like stumble back to their rooms and they're done. And that's what they do, and that's their thing.
Yeah.
So I think you got to figure out like what's your most important meal of the day that you want to go all in, and usually it's dinner. So like set the tone the rest of the day so you don't go into dinner feeling like you ate like a jerk all day and you don't want to get what you really want to get.
Yeah.
I think making a game plan is huge, like knowing yourself enough to not to just don't stop lying to yourself, right? Like for me, my big thing is dinner for sure. So like I will definitely I don't like to skip meals because then I feel like I have to make up for it, or I have to like, I don't know, I just don't like that mentality of restricting, I think, just from my own past. So I will allow myself to have things. But I think having a game plan going into the day, and then for each meal, like, okay, I'm either going to have like a lighter breakfast, lighter lunch, heavier dinner, or however you want to structure it. But know yourself, like know your patterns. If you prefer to go long periods of time without eating and then have two big ass meals, do that. Like if you prefer to have 4 or 5 smaller meals throughout the day, then do that. But don't like, and I also think it's like when you travel with other people, sometimes it's hard because they have different eating schedules or eating styles or God only knows, you know? So like that's a huge variable, but like just sticking to like what you want to do and just knowing that like your goals are your goals. How you feel is how you feel, you know? So like don't feel pressured to eat at a time where you're not hungry solely just because you're like, oh my God, but like, what if we don't eat again? You can always grab something, right? Like just making a game plan and going into your day, feeling like you're in control, I feel like helps a lot of the stress and anxiety kind of dissipate. If you're like, okay, like I'm going to go out and have this steak dinner and then, you know, have wine and have cake, but I'm also, you know, taking it easy, going a little bit lighter throughout the beginning part of the day so that I can enjoy that and not like feel super heavy.
Yeah, totally.
Now, do you guys bring anything along with you when you travel food-wise?
Yeah, I bring protein powder and just like vitamins and supplements, but I don't bring, sometimes I bring protein bars, but I've really not been into protein bars lately. They kind of just make me feel like garbage. So,
I quit them last summer too. Yeah. I don't do whey protein anymore either. It was all making me very bloated and I didn't realize it. So, but in the past I have brought protein powder, protein bars, and depending on where I was, like, I went to Aruba this summer and I went to the store right away and stacked up on fruits and like some lean protein sources to keep in my little mini fridge. And it just made it easier for me to get in some nutrient dense stuff, while we were eating out a lot.
Yeah. Hitting up the grocery store when you get to wherever you're going to go is always a huge, like, that's like my number one thing. Even if it's to get a lot of water or like electrolytes or like just, you know, stuff to have so that you're better. You're setting yourself up for success more.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I always just bring protein bars and like my carry-on bag for the kids eat them. And like, just in case we get stuck and hungry, I always just like have them in my bags just in case. But I like a protein bar, but it's like not something I eat all the time. It's like usually I just have them if I'm stuck somewhere and I don't want to like be hangry when I get to dinner or whatever.
Yeah. I used to have a serious obsession with them, actually.
Oh, really?
I did too.
Yeah, I would have at least one a day and it was like really messing with my gut.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. Sam, you know when I gave them up was right after I visited you. Remember we had those yummy like protein cookies and stuff? Like I really liked those. I thought those were delicious. And it was somewhere right around there. I like ran out of my protein stuff one, and I realized all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, I was really bloated from those guys. And sometimes I would eat 2 a day, which is never good. That stuff kind of rips your gut apart. Like, yeah. You know, so, hey, you know, the other thing that I do, and I started doing it a few years ago, and I recommend it to clients, is being cautious, like when actually doing the travel part, like whether you're in a car or whether you're in a plane, it tends to lend itself to like obsessive snacking, yes. Like just obscene amounts of food. It's kind of like if you forever have sat down in front of the TV with a bag of chips or a bowl of ice cream, it's just like habit. And I think traveling is that way too. Like in the middle of the day, like at 11 o'clock, I don't typically like sit down and open a bag of chips. But if I was traveling, why would I need to, if I get in a car for 3 hours, have a box of candy?
That's so funny.
Like that's absurd. Yeah. But it was like just what I would always do. Cause like, oh, we're going on a road trip. Got to get our snacks. And so, you know, I have a client who's getting ready this weekend to fly to Florida. And we were talking about her strategy for vacation eating. And one of the things we talked about was the flight. Okay, it's like 2 hours from where we live. She lives not too far from me, from here to Florida. And she, as we talked about, she's like, I go 2 hours all the time without eating. She's like, but I can tell you, if we hadn't had this conversation, I for sure would have been snacking, because that's what you do on an airplane. You know? And so the idea of questioning yourself about those things, like, would you really be eating at this time if you were at home? So I personally, I try not to eat when I travel, unless it's going to be a super long travel day, because otherwise I just tend to eat too much. You know, I'll stop and have a meal. Like if we're having a long car trip, I'll stop and get out and have my meal, but not eating in the car.
Yeah. I do the same thing. I set rules for myself and I don't eat while I travel. Because one, the airport food sucks. Two, it doesn't taste good and it's like way too overpriced. And also like you can be hungry. It's okay, you know?
That is really important.
I think it's something, it took me like probably 5 years to actually realize that and fully be not okay with, but like truly understand it. But I'm at that point now where I can go long periods of time and know like, okay, I'm going to eat again and it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to starve. And actually like really just like telling myself like, it's okay. Hunger is okay. And actually just like saying it to myself as like a little reminder.
That's brilliant, Sam.
Yeah.
Cause hunger is totally normal, but we feel like it's this big emergency, and reminding ourselves that it's not, that it's just a natural body cue. Is really important.
I think I heard someone talking about it.
2 weeks to starve to death, so we can go a few hours.
Is that how? But wait a second. Question.
It takes
longer. Yeah, because if you have way more body fat, you're gonna last a lot longer.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just go with this. You're gonna be safe on whatever flight you're getting on. You're not gonna have starved.
You dehydrate first.
Yeah, you do. You definitely do.
For sure. You know. I think that was Georgie Fear I first read this from, is the idea of looking at hunger as like,
yes, I was just going to say that. I'm so glad you brought it up.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. Yeah. So like when you yawn, would you ever in a million years be like, oh my gosh, I got to go to bed. I'm tired. And like run off.
Actually, yes, that's me.
Like I yawn all the time and never, ever do I think like, got to go to bed now. No, if you catch yourself yawning excessively or more than usual, you might be like, wow, I'm probably tired. Maybe I'll go to bed earlier tonight, right? Yeah. So it's like a cue, but it doesn't need to be followed up by an immediate behavior to fix it. But with hunger, we do that very differently, but it's actually the same thing. Hunger lets us know like, hey, we're approaching a time where we should probably think about getting food eventually. It's not an immediate like, oh my gosh, I'm hungry. I have to fix that right now.
Yeah. Yes. So,
and that's what we do.
And also if you're in a fat loss phase, then that means it's working, you know, like ding, 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 you're freaking losing fat.
Right.
And I think for me personally,
damn, that's good.
Like, it took me so freaking long to realize like you need to experience hunger. And that's actually like, you should feel good about the hunger because that means your body is working properly. Like your metabolism is cranking. Like last night, for example, I'm in a fat loss phase and my hunger has been insane. Like I was talking to Sarah about this. I feel like a ravenous, like, you know, a gorilla, like I could just eat anything, but I've never had more control over it because I know it's important. Like it's something that I need to happen, you know, not to an extreme level, but like in the past, my natural tendency is to just like, oh, gotta go make food, gotta go eat. Like, and I get stressed and then anxious, like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna eat? What am I gonna eat? And then I end up eating so much because my hunger is, you know, is there. But I think treating it as, I think it was Leslie Hooper actually who who I kind of took part of this from, and maybe Georgie Fear from Lean Habits, but like, it's important. It's an important part of fat loss. And if you're not experiencing it, chances are you're not in a deficit.
Absolutely. You know, hunger comes along with fat loss, and you don't have to be ravenously hungry, but if you're not experiencing any hunger and you're trying to lose weight and you're not having success with it, you're probably eating too many calories.
Yeah. Which sucks, but it's the truth.
It's a good sign.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Yeah. You know, all right, girls. So I have a question to wrap up.
Okay. Yeah.
For each of you. Where is your favorite place in the whole world to go on vacation?
Oh, what?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's not even fair.
Okay. I do like tropical places. Cruising is literally my favorite way to vacation. This is, I think, my fifth time. It's so much fun.
It would be my worst nightmare.
Me too. Sam, why?
Because I don't like the feeling of someone telling me what to do.
No one tells me what to do. That's the best.
Yeah,
part
but
of it.
There's a captain on that ship, and he's taking the cruise ship. If I was the captain, I would be pumped.
Okay,
but I'm
that's
not.
That's like saying I'm not going to get on an airplane because the pilot's bossing me around.
No, but like you're
what are
yes,
you talking about?
Yes, there's some truth to that. But what I really mean is like you're on the boat. Like you can't just
you're
get
stuck.
Off the boat, right?
Okay, but I don't know if you realize how big these boats are. It's like taking a small town.
I mean,
like. And
I probably
put it on,
don't.
Out to sea.
I probably don't know. I mean, I've been on one little mini cruise, and it was from like Norway to Finland, I think, or something.
Right,
I don't even
know.
You know
what we need to do, girls? We need to all go on a cruise together. We need to host like a fitness cruise, and we'll get a bunch of cool fitness speakers and go on a fitness cruise. Because I'm telling you, it is the way to live. It is so relaxing. It's like you unpack in a hotel room, and then your hotel moves you to beautiful places. It's
the
freaking
only
amazing.
Cruise I'll ever go on is an Alaskan.
Me too.
Cruise.
Me too.
Only one.
That's what I'm doing when I turn 50.
Oh, sweet. Wait, when is that? Isn't that? I don't want to say anything.
Year and a half. It's
okay.
A year and a half.
I was gonna say, isn't that soon? But I didn't want to.
Not soon.
I didn't want to get hit.
No, Ab. I'll be 49 in the fall, so the next year, and I'll go the summer after.
Oh, sweet. I'm coming.
All right, let's do it.
I'll be on that cruise. You'll find me in the corner, like I need the captain.
I'm not even the captain. Yeah. He is not telling me what to do.
That's so funny.
How about you, Nicole? What's your favorite place to vacation?
I would say Maui is my favorite.
Ooh, like, yeah, I do like Hawaii.
It's just like Maui's just like my. If I were gonna live somewhere else, it would be there.
It'd be Maui.
I want to go there. I
it's
actually
so amazing.
Yeah,
I haven't been to Maui. I've been to Oahu, and I loved it.
Yeah, Hawaii's the spot.
Yeah, that's a
how
good
about
one.
You, Sam?
Oh, God. Okay, can I ask a question that will help me answer this?
Yes.
What are the like vacation for just pure leisure, like just for fun?
Yes, just for fun.
Oh God.
It shouldn't be this hard.
No, I know, but it is. I think it's kind of a tie, but okay. I went to St. John maybe 2 or 3 years ago with some of my best friends from college, and it was incredible. Like I was so relaxed. I felt uncomfortable because I was so relaxed, which probably means I should do those trips more because I feel like when I travel, I like to also like adventure and stuff. But this was a very new experience for me where there was no stress at all. And it was just pure like breathing and ocean. And it was just really nice. Yeah.
Love that. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. You guys, what's your next, all of your next trips? Kim, I know we know where, what you're
mine
doing.
Mine is Saturday.
Okay.
After that, I don't know what, I think I'm going to Nashville this summer.
Oh,
fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
What about you, Nicole?
Well, we usually take the kids to Aruba every year in April, and they're begging to go. But I said, no, mommy bought you a condo, so stop asking. You're
She's
skiing,
been skiing every
year.
Weekend.
Happy vacation. I'm going to California in a couple weeks by myself. So
nice.
Yeah, for a
business
little...
trip or relaxation.
It is a women's empowerment weekend. I'm going with some other fitness coaches who I sort of became friends with over the last year in a mastermind. So there's a few of us going.
Okay.
That's great.
What's it called? What's the retreat called?
It's Lori Harder's Bliss Project.
Oh yeah, you were talking about you like her.
Yeah, she puts it on every year, and I've always wanted to go. One of my girlfriends goes every year, and she's like, "It is so worth it." So, I'm excited.
Nice.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Awesome. All right.
All right, ladies. We'll have so much fun on your vacation, Kim.
Yeah, Kim.
I will.
Go get that buffet.
Tell the captain we say hi.
I will.
Maybe you should take a buffet picture.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take some buffet pictures. I'll take some captain pictures. I mean, I'll take some good pics for you, girl.
Yeah, some workout pictures.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Awesome, guys. See ya.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Decades of Strength podcast. I sure hope you enjoyed it and that you found value in it. If you did, I would greatly appreciate it if you would leave a review wherever you're listening. It does help to get this podcast in front of more people. Of course, I'd love it if you subscribed so you can always be aware when another episode comes available. Thanks so much for being here, and I'll see you next time on the Decades of Strength podcast.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.